If God's love fought against God's judgment, who do you think would win? If God's love, on one hand, fought against God's judgment, on the other hand, which one would come out the winner? Well, this is a question that a lot of people have asked, Christian and non-Christian alike, and have thought about for a long time, and it's led many to answer that surely God's love must win. In fact, recently an author and very famous Christian leader released a book called Love Wins, which basically says that in the end, God's love will win. So everyone, follower of Jesus or not, will be okay because God is love. Surely God's love is greater than his desire and his right to judge sin. But the problem is, though, with this question, according to God's word, this very question is wrong. It has a wrong premise, a wrong understanding. It's like asking, which one does the human body need essentially to survive, food or water? Or you could say, well, you could survive longer on water, but essentially you need both to survive. It's the wrong question. And the Apostle John, in our passage this morning from John chapter 3, it gives us the most well-known verse in the entire Bible. But in this passage, he doesn't set God's love against God's judgment, his anger against sin, but he sees these things as both coexisting in God. And so the question for our world becomes, which are you under, God's love or God's judgment? The question for our family and friends, for the kids in the schools that we've just heard about, the question for us here this morning is, which are we under, God's love or God's judgment? And this passage from God's word this morning helps us to understand how to answer this question. So let's have a look at it quickly. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. Let me read it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Remember, the question is, which are you under, God's love or God's judgment? Or how can we know which one? How can someone know if they're under God's judgment? Well, let me reread verse 18, the start of verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but it goes on. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And John tells us that Jesus didn't come to bring condemnation or judgment. It's the same idea. Jesus didn't come for the purpose of bringing judgment on the world, but providing a way out of God's judgment. The only way out, in fact. But what does it say? Whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Jesus didn't come to bring judgment, but those who do not trust in Jesus' death on the cross, who do not follow him as king, are already standing under God's judgment. And that's a lot of people, isn't it? But why? Why do people stand under God's judgment? How can a loving God who sends his Son into the world condemn people to eternal separation from him, from everything that is good? How can he do this? Well, verse 18 tells us, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And that is because people have rejected Jesus' death on the cross for them and his rightful rule over them as their king. Verse 36 of the same chapter reads, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath, his anger, remains on him. For this rejection of Jesus, God's greatest gift to the world, and only way that someone can be forgiven and have eternal life, for this rejection of Jesus, all humanity stands under God's righteous and just judgment because of their sin. I wonder this morning if you guys have ever misjudged someone in your life. Or how many times, maybe is a better question. And you know, you might think something about someone, whether it be a big thing or a small thing, and you find out later on that wasn't the case. I remember hearing a story about a person at a train station waiting for a train, and they saw a couple of kids just being really, like, over the top, rowdy, loud, and, you know, misbehaving in extreme ways. And this person was looking at their father and just thinking, what a bad father, you know, not disciplining his children. And after some time, the person spoke up to this father about his kids, and the father apologized and said, you know, he was just a bit out of it at the moment because the kid's mother, his wife, had just passed away. And this little bit of information changes everything, doesn't it? And this person has misjudged this father. And we as humans misjudge people all the time, don't we? I know I do. We're addicted to judging others. And we can get it wrong so often, can't we? But the God of all the universe never gets this wrong. He knows the heart of all humanity, and He is a God of love. He is love. But as Tim reminded us last week, God is not a tame lion. He's not a tame lion. He's an all-consuming fire, we read in the New Testament. He is a God of truth and justice, and He cannot let sin go unpunished. The God of all the universe will do what is right and just. So how can someone know if they are under God's judgment? Well, God's word tells us that those who are under God's judgment are all those who have not trusted in Jesus. All those who have not put their trust in Jesus' death on the cross and trusted Him as their Lord and Saviour. And it's a harsh truth, isn't it? I feel it this morning as I say it to you. God's word presents a harsh truth when you stop and think about it. And I'm sure if you're anything like me, you can think of numerous people in your life, even in your own family, let alone those outside of your family, who stand today under God's judgment. And if they died today, by all accounts, as it is, they would face eternal punishment because they have not trusted in Jesus. And I think this is the place it should take us to. It should grip our hearts and bring us to our knees in prayer. It should arrest our hearts so that we make known to them this wonderful gift of Jesus' death so they can be forgiven and have a relationship with God. It rightly leads us to a desire and a life's focus, even as Bernie's spoken this morning, of seeing people come to put their trust in Jesus. And because without trust in Jesus, we all stand under God's judgment. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Okay, well, that's the truth. That's the heart-wrenching reality of things. But what about the hope that's offered here in this passage? The great love of God. How can someone know if they are under God's love? Let me reread verses 16, the first half of 18. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." Verse 16, because of its well-known status, I think can so easily pass over us. I know it does for me every time I read it or hear it. But did you take it in? God showed His love. He showed how great His love was for the world. His love for you this morning in sending His only Son. And we recently went through Genesis here at church, and we saw that the human race chose to disobey their good and all-satisfying God. They chose to choose after, to follow after the lies of Satan. And we see here that in our world today, don't we? We see the effects of that. And we chase after greed and power, money and success over a relationship with God. It's what we do. And we see it in our own hearts even this morning, don't we? Even for us who have been changed by God's Spirit in us, we lack a desire and hunger for God so much of the time. We constantly forget His goodness in our lives. And in our hearts and minds, if not in our words, we think, is God really good? Why is He holding out on me? I could have so much more if I didn't follow Jesus. And that's the human heart, isn't it? It's set against God. Even in this passage this morning, we've read, men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds, his works, will be exposed. And Isaiah's right when he says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But this is how great God's love for us is. It's not a deserved love, but it's an undeserved love. It's not an earned love, but it's something we could never earn. It's a gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And Jesus is a gift from God to us. Jesus is God's gift. Because God's word tells us, all who believe in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, the question has to be, what does it mean here to believe in Jesus? James tells us that the demons believe in God. Verses 14 and 15, just before what we've read this morning, the previous verses read, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. And this refers to Israel's history in the desert in the Old Testament, which you can read in Numbers chapter 21 if you want to later. When Israel speak evilly against God and Moses, and God sends these venomous snakes among the people, and people are dying from these venomous snakes. And people then come up to Moses and plead for him to pray to God to take away these snakes. And God tells Moses to make a bronze snake that he'll lift up on a pole, and the people who get bitten by these venomous snakes will look upon this bronze snake and they'll live. They won't die from their bite. And this is a picture of our passage this morning. People have sinned against God and stand under His righteous anger and His righteous punishment that is coming on this world. But if anyone will look upon Jesus, no matter their sin, no matter how they've lived, if anyone will look upon Him lifted up on that cross and put their trust in His death on their behalf, they will not die. They will live forever. And this is the message, isn't it? This is the gospel that the kids in the schools need to hear, that our friends and family need to hear, that our co-workers need to hear, that our whole world needs to hear. Look upon Jesus lifted up on that cross, suffering and dying because of your sin. The Father's righteous anger poured out on Jesus for our sin. If you will put your trust in Him, follow Him, your sins will be forgiven. You will no longer be under God's judgment, but under God's love. Because He will look upon Jesus' death and no longer count your sins against you. He will look upon Jesus' perfect righteous life and count it as your perfect righteous life. And what kind of life does that lead us to live? How does someone who has had the Son of God been given to die for their sins live in response? Well, they're thankful, aren't they? Humble, enthusiastic. They seek harmony with their brothers and sisters. They appreciate Jesus' service to them, which enables them, which empowers them to live, to serve Him selflessly for others, for Jesus' glory. So the question is that you this morning? Okay, you might not feel that you're all those things all the time. I certainly don't. Of course, it's a growing process. We're becoming more like Jesus as His followers. But there is a joy in your heart, because you are God's child. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. Romans 5 says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In closing this morning, the crucial question for our world has to be not how's your superannuation, or what will you do if you lose your job, or even how do we beat cancer. The crucial question for the world must be, which are you under, God's love or God's judgment? Have you trusted in Jesus' death on the cross to cover your sins? Have you chosen him to be your king? Are you living for his purposes, or are you like so many that as it stands are already under his judgment because they're not trusted in Jesus? And what could matter more in eternity? Lasting joy in God or lasting pain in hell? And they call John the Apostle of Love that we read this morning, John's Gospel. They call him the Apostle of Love, and rightly so. But the love of God does not mean that he won't punish sin. It doesn't mean he won't punish humanity's rebellion against him. On the contrary, a perfect loving God must punish sin. What our world needs is Jesus as their substitute. And so I want to encourage you this morning to share this hope to those around you. Share Jesus with those in your life. Tell them about what God did in Jesus so that they can be forgiven. Tell them about what God did in Jesus so they can have eternal life. Tell them about what God did in Jesus so they can have a restored relationship with the living God. And pray for them. Love them. Live out Jesus to those around you. And pray for Bernie and others who are seeking to make Jesus known in these ways, in these awesome ways. But what a reminder in this gospel about the hope that is on offer to all people. No one here is without hope. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. By God's grace, may we make this hope known to this world, to those he's placed in our lives. And may we rejoice in our loving God who's freely given his most precious gift, his only Son, for us. I'm just going to invite Tim up and he's going to lead us in a time of prayer.